Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And you know, many of us with Lyme disease, we think we just need to go in and kill it, right? And of course, that is a piece of it, but detoxing is just as important, if not even more so. And then we have all the other issues that we have to deal with, like MCAS and POTS, mold, parasites, the emotional side of this, just so many things. But there are some other things that I truly believe are such a huge piece to this healing journey that we go through that sometimes we don't even know about it or we don't know what they are. And so today, my guest and I, we're going to take a dive into the fascinating world of our nervous system. We're going to talk about the difference between sympathetic, parasympathetic, and how to get in or out of it. What role does our vagus nerve play? What is our vagus nerve? How does it support our body? What are ways that we can support that? Breath work, grounding, circadian rhythm. We're just really going to take a deep dive into all of these things because they may sound really simple or maybe even silly to some, but they really are a huge piece to our healing journey. And so I'm excited that we're going to have this conversation today. So get comfy, grab a notepad, because I'm sure you're going to want to take some notes. So I'm excited to dive into all of this. Kelly, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you and just to talk about something a little bit different that doesn't get talked about a lot, right?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. I love what you do for the Lyme community, and I am just so excited to share all about the nervous system today.
I love it. Well, thank you. I appreciate those kind words. It takes a village to reach the community, right?
Absolutely.
So let's share with the listeners just a little bit about you, like how you even got into the world of Lyme, right? Or fitness or all the stuff.
Yeah. So I have been in the fitness industry for over 25 years. I started teaching in college. And it's been my passion. I love just helping others be healthy and really just kind of discover things that they never knew that they could do fitness-wise, right? So I was on this health journey, which I thought I was a super healthy person. And then the dreaded COVID came. And I had to get the vaccine for one of my retreats I was going to in Greece. And when I first received the vaccine, I was fine. But I kind of noticed during the retreat, there were some things that felt a little off. And as soon as I got back from the retreat, that's when everything started to kind of come out. Inflammation was one of my major issues, but it also brought out Lyme disease, mold toxicity, a hoax of gut issues. And so, of course, you know, I had to start detoxing. But then I realized that everything I was doing was not going to have the impact that it should if I didn't start regulating my nervous system. Because if you have probably heard from other people with long COVID or vaccine injury, the nervous system was severely dysregulated from it. And so I had to kind of switch into the way I was thinking about how I was going to heal and really focus on the nervous system part of it to be able to allow the detox part of it to really be beneficial to my body.
Yeah. And that, you know, so I talk about killing, detox, all this. So you kind of did the whole role reversal, right? Like, let's start with the things that sound simple and basic and work from there. And I love that because I think that can be a game changer for many people if they can really kind of understand the things that we're going to talk about today and the roles that they play in our body and in the healing process. So, well, I'm sorry to hear about, you know, healthy. We don't know what we don't know, right? And then we have, whether it's, you know, COVID or an illness or a traumatic injury, emotional trauma, that is what kind of triggers our body and things can spiral out. And I do know that, you know, many people talk about long haul COVID. Is it really, or is it Lyme disease, right? Like there's all these thoughts behind it. So anyways, we could talk about that whole thing in another episode, right? Yes, it could absolutely be an episode of its own for sure. So, well, I love what you do. And so I'm always wanting to learn. We never know it all, right? I think when we quit learning, we just die. Like there's always something to learn out there. So I'm excited to just be able to kind of bounce questions back and forth and learn along with the listeners. So we're going to start with the nervous system, right? Like let's talk, what the heck is it, right? Some people think, well, I'm not a nervous person. I don't get anxiety. But there's so many other layers to it. So let's kind of start there if you're good with that. And dive into what it is, you know, and then the sympathetic, the parasympathetic, you know, we have a fight or flight mode, right? And then we have a rest and digest and heal mode. And that is the mode that we need to be in, right? When we're trying to heal from a chronic illness, but maybe we don't even know what it is. Maybe we don't know how to get into it. So you're going to enlighten us all.
Yeah. So as a yoga instructor, you know, I had tools that I knew would help the nervous system, but I actually had to dig deeper. And throughout that, I learned so much. And so that is why I'm so passionate with sharing it. So let's start with the nervous system, right? So our sympathetic nervous system is our fight or flight response. It's kind of designed to help us survive danger. And when it's activated, it can increase heart rate. It really can slow down the digestion, which I think was one of my major issues. It can raise your cortisol. And the problem, which I feel in today's world, is that we're kind of stuck in this chronic stress response. Don't you agree?
How can we not be? Look at the world around us. Look at the toxins. Look at our food. Yes, so many things. And then just life in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even the EMFs, like it was insane how sensitive I became to EMFs. You know, 3.5 years ago when this first started, I would not be able to sit here doing this podcast with you because I would be so triggered. So and that was something I never even knew was possible, but we're constantly dealing, like you said, with these toxic exposures, inflammatory foods. And so we end up living in this sympathetic state chronically, which keeps our body in this loop of survival instead of healing. And so we also have the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest and really is our healing mode, right? So this is where the magic of healing really happens. When you activate this branch, your body can really start to digest your food properly, repair tissue, detoxify more efficiently, and regulate your hormones. So our goal is to really bring the body back into a parasympathetic dominance as often as possible. And so I had to constantly work at that in order to get my body to finally feel like it was safe. And it took a lot of work.
That everything with this journey takes a lot of work, right? Yes. We didn't say it was easy. It is a tough journey, but we are tougher for sure. So yeah, that's really interesting. And I remember, I guess it was, you know, one of the many blessings of Lyme is just the things we learn along this journey and, you know, the incredible friendships we built, like so many things. But I remember when I first started, once I knew it was Lyme disease, how my Lyme doctor explained to me what you just kind of talked about, that fight or flight mode. Mm-hmm. And how he explained it to me was, people that have Lyme disease are stuck in this fight or flight mode, right? Like the sympathetic mode. And how he explained it was, imagine sitting in a car, having it in neutral, and just revving the engine all day long, every day of the week, forever, right? Eventually, the motor is going to blow up, right? Yeah. And that is what our bodies do. We're in that constant state of, there's no relaxation. It's a constant tension from head to toe in everything in our body. And if you're in that kind of a mode, like, how can anything happen? Like, you can't even shut your brain down to rest or get the proper REM sleep or, you know, all the things. And I think that truly was probably the first time I ever really even knew what our nervous system does and that we have different parts of it and what kind of role it plays in our body. So we don't know what we don't know, right? I thought I was healthy like you too, and I didn't think anything was wrong. And then I'm having to learn all this stuff that, you know, I didn't know I was going to be a nurse or a doctor or a pharmacist or a therapist or, you know, all the stuff that goes along with this. So yeah, it's just super interesting, all the things that our body does. So are you saying that between these two modes, right? So sympathetic, parasympathetic, do we go in and out of it? Like, does it happen like the snap of a finger, or does something have to happen? Or is that, you know, and obviously we're kind of gearing this towards Lyme patients, right? So we have a chronic illness. We have an issue that we're working with. So we're a little outside the normal. But is this something that like, I got it in check and I'm good? Or do you have to keep working at it, right? And that's the trigger. Like, what are the ways to know that your body's not in the rest mode that you need? How do you know you're in the fight or flight mode?
Yeah. So, you know, I never really had any issues with anxiety. And when I was going through this, I realized, you know, this is more than just anxiety, what I'm feeling. This is a whole dysregulated system that I'm going to have to really, you know, focus on if I wanted to get through this. And so I do believe that we are triggered by past traumas. We are triggered by anything that can stress us, like my kids. You know, I feel like if your body is not in that rest or digest, any little thing can put your body in that sympathetic mode. And so in order to keep ourselves from getting into that keep us from getting into that sympathetic mode, we have to constantly work at it, right? And realize and recognize what our triggers are. And once we can recognize what our triggers are, then we can take our tools and use those when we feel our body getting into that fight or flight.
Yes. Yes. I love that we, through this journey, we obtain all these new tools, right? Like, we have these tools in our toolbox and we may not need them all every day, right? But when you're going through this and you have those ups and downs and you take those steps backwards, reach in that toolbox, right? Like, that's what it's for. And that's interesting. So it could be even as much as something really silly, right? That, why is this annoying me? Why am I so agitated? Like, this is never, you know, this has happened a million times before. It's never affected me in this way. That is probably a good sign, right? That your body is in that fight or flight mode.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you kind of start to reflect, you know, a little bit. I really started reflecting on, why was I so triggered over the littlest things? And that kind of brought up some of my past traumas from my childhood. And that was something that I never even tapped into before this happened, or realized how much of an effect it could have on us. And so I definitely had to go back into my past traumas and also face those head on and release that energy from my body. I know we're going to be talking about different types of energy, like sound healing and tuning forks later on. But I really just feel like the energy that we hold was something that I never knew could have such an impact on the body and healing. And I even really got into frequency healing, not only with the tuning forks, but doing frequency scans. I don't know if you're familiar with those types of things, but I worked with a girl who would do a frequency scan, and she could tell me exactly what was going on in my body at that time, just from my voice. You know, so it's all just a learning journey. And I was so blessed to go through it because now I feel like I can help others along their healing journey.
Yeah, it's, you know, and again, I tell my listeners all the time, my guests, like, they really believe that Lyme is truly a blessing, right? And we don't feel it as we're going through the journey. We get it. But trust us when we say this, because we learn so many amazing things. We collect so many amazing tools that can not only help us, we can share with others to help them, right?
Absolutely.
So I love that. And so how do we... where do we go from here, right? So we have this nervous system. We're learning. It's a work in progress. I think every part of this journey, especially when we're talking about mindset, right? Yeah. When we're talking about having to release past trauma. And I know that there's, you know, you may have a favorite book that you want to recommend as well. I know Dr. Bradley Nelson has the Emotion Code book, which I think is a fabulous book. It talks a little bit about how you can learn to kind of muscle test yourself at home for different supplements and vitamins and stuff, just kind of a basic guideline, but then talks about these traumas that are in our past. And oftentimes it could be so minute, right? That, and it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we don't think we ever think about it, right? We don't think it's ever really caused us any problems. But then again, like, our brain is huge, right? We have like this conscious mind, we have this subconscious mind. So it just all really plays a toll or a huge piece in our healing journey.
Absolutely. And I really want to touch base on the vagus nerve, because this is something that I really knew nothing about until I went through this journey. I knew a little bit about the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system because I was a yoga instructor. We did a lot of that with breath work.
Right.
But the vagus nerve was something that was a key in knowing how to do exercises. And most people don't realize that there are many exercises you can do to help heal the vagus nerve. So the vagus nerve is like the longest cranial nerve in the body, and it runs from the brainstem down to the sides of our neck, and it goes through the chest and into the gut. So the vagus nerve, I like to think of it as this super highway, right, between the brain and your vital organs. And it really helps regulate your heart rate, your breathing, your digestion, your immune response, and even your inflammation. So I learned that your vagus nerve actually controls all the other systems in your body. And so when the vagus nerve is strong and functioning, we're really more resilient to our stress response, right? Inflammation can kind of stay in check, and you're able to move out of that fight or flight state more easily. But if it's dysregulated, which usually happens when you're having a chronic illness, right? We really need to think about what we can do to bring that vagus nerve back online, because it kind of checks out, right, when we're dealing with a chronic illness. And so the nervous system regulation, to me, was really the missing piece to my healing journey, because of the fact that it really controls all the systems in the body, right?
Yeah. And so that was a great description of kind of the highway, right? Because it sounds like, you know, and again, like, I didn't know anything of this before Lyme, right? But we know all this stuff after Lyme. And I know that it plays a huge role, but it's interesting because, so if we are, you know, doing the tools that we will talk about later, we'll share some of those, but doing the tools, all the things that you need to do to kind of get out of that fight or flight mode, why isn't this working? Why isn't, you know, why am I still so agitated? So it all kind of circles back to that vagus nerve.
Absolutely.
That I not many people talk about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a huge piece. So that kind of runs the whole highway, as you said. I like that. So what are, you know, and we always want to offer things we can do at home, things we can do on our own, right? Most importantly, what are the free things? Yes. We all like free. We need free in this journey. So do you have tips on how to know, right? Like, and I guess that if you're using the tools to, you know, get your nervous system straight and they're not working, then now we need to go, okay, now it's the vagus nerve. So we kind of, you know, you're going to learn your body. You're going to learn how to maneuver around it, right? Because that's what we learn from this journey. And so what are things that they can do?
Yeah. So the biggest exercise that really helped me were the eye exercises for the vagus nerve. So
I never would have guessed that. Okay. Never heard that. Okay. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, I think one of the reasons it was for me is because I had a lot of visual disturbances through this. It was actually very scary. I was blurry and I would even went to the eye doctor and did eye tests and they said, you have perfect vision. And I'm like, no, there's definitely something wrong here. But then I realized it was having to do a lot with obviously the toxicity in the body, the Lyme, but also the vagus nerve. So my favorite eye exercise is you'll look straight forward, right, to begin with. And then you'll take your gaze up as far over to the right as possible. And you'll hold it there for about 30 seconds to a minute. And you may start to see a little bit of stars, and that's a little bit normal. And then you'll release that eye and just kind of close the eyes and let that kind of settle in. And then I'll go and gaze up over to the highest point over to the left. And again, I'll do that for about 30 seconds to a minute, and then I will release that. And what that really does, it just kind of recalibrates the brain, right? And one of my favorite things to do is also gargle, right? Gargling. You can also do cold exposure. That's really beneficial for the vagus nerve. I do what I call the triple threat. So every night I will take my mouthwash, right? I will gargle my mouthwash. I will do my vagus nerve eye exercise, and I will actually rub on the side of my neck where my vagus nerve is to activate that triple the time.
Wow. Now, if that is not a powerful tip, I don't know what is. That is okay. So of course, right? Like I'm trying to follow along with you and look far up to the right. Kind of strains your eyes a lot. Am I looking too far, or that is what we're supposed to feel?
That's what you want. That's what you want. And it will settle in. You just got to give it a moment.
Okay. Do that, kind of close them, do it the opposite way. And yes, I did know gargling because I gargle with my colloidal silver every day, and I'm always trying to make humming sounds and all. Yes. In fact, I had someone say, it must have been my mom or someone that was here, like, you just have like this amazing stream to your gargle. When I gargle, it's all over. I'm like, lots of practice. Yes.
Gargling is definitely another one of those tools that really activates the vagus nerve. So that's another good one.
Great. So would that be also like humming? Is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say humming. Yes. So that's what I meant was humming when you said humming. And what I like to do with the humming is actually bring in the breath work with the humming. So breath work is another fabulous tool. And to me, it's one of the most powerful tools that we have to regulate our nervous system. But also there's different types of breath work that will activate the vagus nerve. And most people, I feel, overlook it because it's a very simple tool that we can just do throughout our day when we feel that stress response coming on, just pausing for a moment, right? Closing our eyes. I like to take one hand over my heart and one hand over my belly and just really connect in the present moment. And just taking that time to do some of these simple breath works that we're going to share can really be a powerful tool that you can do within seconds and really calm the body down.
I love that. And again, we're talking about these simple little things that may even sound kind of silly, right? Like, you're ridiculous. How is this possible? But yeah, so whenever I have, you know, none of us ever want to have to deal with like the cable company or the internet people or the cell phone people, right? Because you call, you get through the automated system, they put you on hold, all this stuff. And then half the time you get disconnected, right? Like, so these are some of the phone calls in my life, part of my adulting, right? That yeah. I just don't get really thrilled about. And believe it or not, I do a little breath work before I make these phone calls. And it is a game changer. And it's just, you know, when you have a super, super busy day, if you are somebody who works out of your house in an office, this is something that you can go when you take a little restroom break. I mean, they're just so easy and simple. They're quick, but man, they're powerful.
Absolutely. And when we're really stressed, you know, we tend to breathe quickly and shallow and out through the mouth. And so this kind of keeps us in that fight or flight state. But when we really start to slow down the breath, breathe deep into the belly, that's the key, is breathing into the belly and really focusing on the longer exhale. That's also key. So inhaling, but focusing on that longer exhale, that's when we start to really activate that parasympathetic nervous system and when our body can now kind of rest, digest, and really heal.
Yeah. So give us an example of and maybe we'll use kind of two examples. So if we're somebody who's just kind of figuring out the whole nervous system and these modes and how to work with our breath, how long does somebody need to kind of do this to get an effective from it, like that moment, right? Like, I think that some of us that have been down this journey for a long time and we're constantly, you know, we can regulate our body. We know what's out. We know what to do, that kind of thing. Maybe, you know, because I can do a little bit of a breath work and just, I mean, boom, immediately just feel the calmness. So how long should somebody do these techniques, like the breathing technique, and what can they expect over time?
Well, absolutely. So just like you said, it really doesn't take long, especially if you're in that moment, right? And you don't have the space to go somewhere quietly. Just taking that minute or two to do that simple breath work can already start to shift that body into that sympathetic nervous system. And so, parasympathetic nervous system. And so what I like to do though, is in the morning, first thing in the morning, I do about a 20-minute breath work. You know, I sometimes like to do a meditation with it, and they do say it takes about 10 minutes to really feel that calmness in the meditation. But for breath work, I feel like you can really calm that system down within a minute or two. But if you can take that time in the morning before you even get out of bed and do a longer breath work, that's going to really set the tone for your nervous system throughout the day. I really notice a difference when I don't do that versus when I take that time in the morning to really kind of set that foundation for my day. It makes a huge difference.
Oh, I love that. And as sad as it is to say, you know, many of us that are our home, right? Like, we wake up, you just don't pop right out of bed. Like, right. For me, when I was sick, you know, it was like a half hour, hour long process. I'd have to kind of start moving my arms. Are my arms going to move today, and move my legs? And so, fabulous time to just lay there, move your body, whatever you need to do, and do that breath work. That's a great tip. In fact, I jump out of bed anymore, but I think I'm going to start doing that. Give me a few extra minutes laying in that cozy bed, right?
Absolutely. And people who are sick and in bed, you know, this is something that they can really focus on. And that's what's so beautiful about it is, you know, you don't have to feel the best to do it. Now, there are breath works that actually kind of rev up the nervous system, which have its own benefits. You know, it can kind of help with digestion. Now that I'm on further in my healing journey, my body can handle some of those. So what I like to do is to do those harder breath works that kind of rev up the nervous system first, just to kind of wake up my body. And then I'll go into those breath works that calm the nervous system. And that's kind of where I end. So this really is something that anyone can do whether they're at the beginning of their healing journey or further along in their healing journey.
And also whether they're bedbound or not, right? Like many of us are bedridden during this journey. So I hear sadly so many times, I'm in bed, I can't do anything. You know, I can't afford a treat. I can't afford a doctor. I'm telling you, there are so many things that we can do at home for free, right? No matter your physical condition. And again, I hope that you listeners really take away the importance of the things that we're talking about today, because they truly are a huge piece to our healing journey. So anybody can do this breath work and it's free. And so that's great. And actually, I'm even going to ask you to walk us through a breath session, but maybe we can do it. Let's kind of save that towards the end.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so special treat for your listeners out there. So get prepared. We're going to all kind of walk through a breathing technique with Kelly. So, okay. So we've talked about the nervous system, the vagus nerve, talked about breath work. Let's talk about, our circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
So this is really interesting to me because I think prior to getting sick, it was my circadian rhythm is telling me, oh, it's 10 o'clock, it's time to go to bed, right? Or it's that natural alarm clock in the morning. And yeah, it is that, but there's so much more to it, right? I didn't know that it, you know, can affect your mood, can affect your hormones, can affect your digestive system, like so many things. I mean, we just don't know what we don't know. So share with us all the stuff on that.
Yeah. So one of the things I realized when I got sick is that my circadian rhythm really needed to be trained again. I was waking up 3-4 times a night, not able to go back asleep sometimes. And so that was also something that I really had to focus on. So your circadian rhythm is your body's internal 24-hour clock, really. And it regulates your sleep-wake cycle, right? Helps release hormones, digestion, like you said, body temperature. I would get chills all the time throughout this. And it was really scary at some points. And it even affects your detoxification. And so one of the simple things that I learned that could really help my circadian rhythm is waking up one and not going straight to my phone, right? With that blue light.
You know, okay, Kelly, pause. Could you say that again? Because I really need to hear that again. It's like, I don't even have my eyes opening and I'm reaching over there for my phone. Oh my gosh. What am I to miss overnight? So yeah. Pathetic, right? But huge.
Yeah. I don't even charge my phone in my bedroom anymore. But yes, one of the biggest things I had to learn was to not first thing grab for my phone and have that blue light, you know, in my brain, because it really does affect your brain. And so what I would do, obviously, would be doing my breath work at first, right? I loved putting these red light bulbs in my lamps. I would turn those on in the morning. So I was not getting, you know, a regular, just blue light. And then I would turn those on in the whole house, right? Then when the sun started to rise, the first thing I would do would be to go outside and let that sun hit my face and my eyes without sunglasses. You know,
so important. Yes.
To go outside and use those sunglasses. But to help with that circadian rhythm, you need that sunlight in your eyes. And I tell you, it was such a shift in my brain because I had a lot of neurological stuff at the beginning. And it was amazing the shift that I would have just from sitting out in that sunlight.
Yeah. So any particular type of red light bulb or just a red light?
Yeah, so I just buy it on Amazon. We can link it if you want to in the show notes, but just a regular red light. Now, when it was, you know, raining outside, I did use my regular red light. I bought a red light therapy machine. That was a huge part of my healing as well. So I would sit in front of that. And if it was raining outside or it was gloomy in the morning, you know, for those who live up north and they don't get that sunshine all the time, a red light therapy would be a great thing that they could purchase that would really help them get that circadian rhythm into check.
Yes. And I love my little red light box. Yes. So, you know, and talking about sunglasses, right? Through our life, we get told so many different things, so many contradictory things. You know, you do the UV, protect your eyes. But honestly, so if you are outside in the sun and you have sunglasses on, right? Like your eyes have not seen the sun freely all day. You need to not have those sunglasses on, right? Because the sunlight going in your eyes, it's going to trigger that pineal gland, yeah. Right? Which is one of the things that tells your body, hey, I'm outside. Produce the melanin. Produce so I don't get sunburnt. Like just all these wild, crazy things, right? That we didn't know.
Yeah. And I live in Florida. So, you know, I from a little girl, I was told you have to put on your sunscreen. You have to put on your sunglasses, right? And now after this healing
journey, take it all off.
Take it all off. You know, I also love to do grounding when I'm out in the morning sunshine, just walking on my bare feet in the grass, feeling that earth, really connecting with yourself and just kind of doing some gazing. You know, when they call this gazing to help with the nervous system, where you just sit and you kind of just focus on something, whether it's a tree, right, or a branch, and you let your body just sit there and try to feel what it's supposed to feel like to be present. And that's another thing that I really feel like helped my nervous system and circadian rhythm kind of balance themselves out.
That's a great idea. Yeah. So yeah, grounding is great, right? We got to get out there and get that feet on the ground. And yes, I know you're in Florida, a little bit jealous because I know you do your grounding on the beach, those negative ions, right? Like I love it. So any time frame, like go outside, put obviously if you have grass, right? I know that you can still do it on cement, like untreated, uncolored cement. Grass is the best, dirt, whatever you may have. For what? 10 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yeah, I recommend 10 minutes. And even just going outside for 10 minutes and letting that sunshine hit your face, that's kind of the key is at least 10 minutes. And again, I don't recommend sunscreen because you do want to get that vitamin D to soak up into the body as well. And then at nighttime, I do have another routine that's really been helpful where when the sun goes down, I'll turn those red lights back on my lamps. I will also put on my blue light blocker glasses. That has been one of the things that has helped me the most. It really kind of triggers the brain to calm. And I really try to avoid my phone 2 hours before I go to bed. I just put it down. I plug it in outside of my room, put my blue light blocker glasses on. And sometimes I'll even listen to the frequency sounds that we're going to possibly talk about today as well.
Yes. And so as far as these blue blocker glasses, right? Cause that was one of my final pieces was my sleep. Like I could not get my sleep dialed in. And unfortunately during my journey, I was on many, many sleep pills, right? I was on pain meds. I was on a lot of things that at times I think we have to do what we have to do, right? To survive. But I had bought some blue blocker glasses to, you know, watch something stupid on TV, like stupid humor, something that was not going to keep me awake, something that, right. But I wanted to wear these. So do any blue blocker glasses work, right? Like we know supplements are not all treated equally. So right. Is there anything particular we need to look for in these glasses?
I really love the brand Ray Optics. Okay. So that's one of the brands that I feel worked better for me than just buying a pair off of Amazon. I really noticed a difference with them.
Okay.
Those are the ones I recommend.
So yeah, let's talk about some sound therapy, because that has been, I think, my key piece in my sleep. Because truly, I mean, before I got sick with Lyme, I had no problem sleeping. I literally could sleep for 10 hours just sitting in a chair. It did not matter. I just loved my sleep. Never had a problem until I got sick. And man, I mean, I remember in between, you know, you're on a sleeping pill for so long, they quit working and then you up it or change it. And I know during my 13-year journey, twice, I was awake for 7 days straight.
Yeah.
Not 1 hour of sleep. Like, talk about delirious. It was the most miserable thing ever. And when I got well and I started learning all the things I didn't know, right? I don't do sleep. I don't do pharmaceuticals. I don't take, and I never did during my journey, at least as far as antibiotics and stuff like that go. But L-theanine, a natural supplement, has been really beneficial to me. And then sound therapy. I listened to a tuning fork video for 10 minutes every night when I crawl in bed, and I just sleep. It is the most amazing thing in the world.
Yeah, sound
therapy. Right? We all have to find our one little final ticket that works for us. So what does sound therapy do? Because I know that they're even talking about, you know, listeners, we're not crazy. Like, this is all studied stuff, right? Like scientific stuff. They're saying that even the frequency sounds of Beethoven may have healing properties for cancer. Like, it really is a thing. It's huge. So explain how it works and how it works with our body.
Yeah. So sound therapy is a form of vibrational healing that really uses frequencies and vibration to bring your body back into a balanced state. So everything in our body has frequency, right? From our organs to our brain waves. And when those frequencies are disrupted by stress or a chronic illness or trauma, we feel out of alignment, right? I almost felt like I was out of my body when I was going through this at the beginning, right? I just felt like I wasn't there. I was there, but my mind was not there. It was like an out of body experience. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, but no, that's a good explanation. Like, we don't know if we're in the real world or not. Is this really happening? Kind of pinch me. Am I real? You know? Yeah. I think it's common.
Yeah. And so sound therapy really works by restoring harmony on a cellular level. It helps shift us out of that fight or flight state and into rest and repair mode. And it slows down the brain waves, right? Calms the heart, reduces inflammation, and can even regulate digestion and hormone production. And really, many people feel an instant sense of peace or emotional release after sound therapy because it speaks directly to the body's energy field. And in yoga, we actually use sound bowls. And, you know, this was something that I did even before my healing journey. And when this happened, I really became more passionate about using my sound bowls, even got into buying specific sound bowls to balance my chakras. And so this was a huge part of my healing, just to kind of bring that energy field back into balance.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if you can share a little bit about what are chakras, right? Like, what is that word? What does that mean? And I do, if you follow me on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page, I actually recently just posted a picture of like all the different chakras in your body, different, you know, I talk about all sorts of crazy things on my page. So if you want all the crazy stuff, right, go and check it out. So what exactly is it and why are they important?
So chakras is like the spinning wheel of energy in the body that corresponds to physical, emotional, spiritual aspects of our health. And when we have one of the chakras blocked or imbalanced, we might feel off in a specific area. For example, we might have trouble speaking our truth if our throat chakra is out of balance, or we may have trouble feeling unsafe if our root chakra is out of balance. And there's actually tests that you can do online to see which chakras are out of balance. And so I will use that specific singing bowl for that chakra to help balance that out, to bring myself back into harmony. And I even like to use my tuning forks to balance all of my chakras on a daily basis.
Our bodies are truly so, so fascinating. And yes, so I also got into the, you know, I listen to the tuning fork when I sleep, but I bought a set of tuning forks. Right or wrong, don't know. They were probably $25 on Amazon, right? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm playing with them. And then I will, you know, if you can follow along, listeners, and you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you kind of hit it to make the sound. Mm-hmm. And then I put it on the different chakras of my body. And it has healing. Like, it's crazy. It really is crazy, the things that we can truly regulate in our body.
Yeah. And those tuning forks have different hertz, right?
Yes, they do.
Those are different sound frequencies that will do different types of healing in the bodies. And so the chakra tuning forks that I have are all different hertz and frequencies. And so that frequency is pertaining to that specific chakra.
Interesting. Okay. I did know that there's different hertz, the different vibration of it, right? And I think that this kit that I bought had like 3 or 4 different ones. And I know one was for the nervous system, but that's interesting that you say you're supposed to do a different, yeah. So it's all about the learning process of this, right? Yeah. But it's very fascinating. I think it's certainly something I've been wanting to dive into a little bit more since I have them and I play with them. Like, if I do it wrong, it's not going to hurt me, right? Like, so it's fun to learn these new things. And I'm telling you, you know, if you are very traditional, right? In the sense that you treat all Western medicine, you know, you do, I'm not saying anything bad about that, but most of us are in that world, right? We grow up, we go to the doctor, we do what they say, we get well, and life goes on. And most of us, when we go through this journey, we kind of switch our whole path of where we once were. And so a lot of this is just really kind of bizarre. You know, and that's why I think this is just such a great episode to talk about all these things that probably so many of us didn't even know it was a thing, right?
Right.
But really, there is science to how God created our body, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, I really encourage people to be open with it because, you know, we are all, and everything around us is energy. So why not believe that using energy can heal the body, right?
We are light. We are energy. It is what we are. Yeah, for sure. So, all right. Have we touched on everything? I'm trying to think of anything else we may have missed. So I do want to, if we're ready, I would love to kind of go through just maybe like a 2-minute walk us through, you know, a little breath, a little breathing session. And again, listeners, you know, I'll share some information with you guys after the show. And of course, in the description of this episode, but there are many, many different breathing techniques. And most of these things that we're talking about, you could probably go on YouTube and search for it, right? So many people do the crazy things that Kelly and I do and talk about it and share it. So feel free to go and check that out. But yeah, let's just kind of calm our mind. And if you would just walk us through, you know, just a short little breath session, that would be great. And I will try and turn my microphone off so I'm not breathing over you, because I'm certainly going to follow along with you.
Absolutely. So the breath work that I want to introduce is called the box breath. So this is where we're going to inhale for a count of 4. We're going to hold the breath at the top for a count of 4. Then we're going to slowly exhale for a count of 4. And then we're going to hold and suspend the breath at the bottom for a count of 4. And this technique really balances the nervous system and is great for anxiety and overwhelm. And you can do this for just 2 or 3 minutes to completely shift your state. Okay. So what I want everyone to do is to find a nice, comfortable seated position. Great. Again, I like to place one hand over my heart and one hand over my belly. And before I begin, I just like to check in with the body, checking in how I feel in the mind, checking in how I feel in the body, noticing any sensations, whether they're comfortable or uncomfortable. And what I've really had to learn is to just sit with those feelings. Don't try to judge them. Don't try to analyze them. Just let the energy flow, right? Let that energy just kind of flow through the body. And then we start some deep breaths. So I want you to start at what we call a Ujjayi breath first. So we're going to inhale into the belly. So it's almost like you're feeling that belly expand like a balloon, right? And then as you exhale, you're exhaling out of the nose as well. And you want to deflate that balloon. So knitting the ribs in, pulling the navel back towards the spine, right? And we'll just do a couple of those breaths to start. So inhaling into the belly, expanding the ribs, taking the breath all the way up to the heart and collarbones. And then as you exhale, you're knitting those ribs in, pulling the navel back towards that spine. Good. And then we'll go ahead and start our box breath. So when you're ready, we're going to inhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold the breath at the top for 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale for 4, 3, 2, pushing all the air out. 1, holding the breath at the bottom for 4, 3, 2, 1. Again, inhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold the breath at the top for 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale for 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold the breath at the bottom for 4, 3, 2, 1. And just pause for a moment. Again, taking notice how you feel, hopefully a little bit calmer, hopefully a little bit lighter. And just allowing yourself to find some gratitude in this moment. Being present for yourself, honoring yourself here. And being grateful for wherever your journey has taken you. And that's it.
That was amazing. Amazing. And I've never really done box breathing. Again, so many different types of breathing, right? Generally, when I do these, okay, Tanya, take a moment, right? So you don't lose your mind with the person on the phone or whatever it may be. And I breathe in through my nose for a count of 4 and out through my mouth for a count of 8. I just double it. Don't know if that's a technique. Don't know if it has a name, but it's Tanya's technique, right?
Yeah. So that's called the 4-7-8 breath. And this is where you can inhale for 4, hold it for 7, and exhale for 8. And this one is really powerful at calming the body quickly. It will help with sleep, and it kind of releases that buildup stress in the body.
Okay. Calming the nerves quickly. Yes, it does. It for sure works. Oh, and that was great.
One of my favorite breaths is the alternate nostril breathing. And we can definitely put this in the show notes, but you can, like you said, look this up in on YouTube. But I had a lot of brain fog. And this alternate nostril breathing really calms the mind and balances the hemispheres in the brain, which strengthens vagal tone, right? And it's really amazing for clarity. So as soon as that brain fog would come on, I would do this breath and it would just completely clear and shift.
Okay. And what was that called again? Because I know the listeners need to know this, right? Yes. We all have brain fog.
Yeah, it's called alternate nostril breathing. It's a little bit trickier, a little bit harder, but once you get it, it's very easy.
Oh, I love it. Kelly, this has been amazing. Like amazing. So much good information. And listeners, I hope that you just kind of took it all in and took notes and really can grasp the magnitude of the things we discussed today at how important they are in our healing journey. And again, like I said earlier, you can start somewhere, right? You're bedridden. Absolutely. You don't have money for a doctor. You're not sure where to start. Start with the things that you know. And today we shared all of that with you. So it's just been, what a fabulous show. And so you guys, if you want more information, right, on this, if you want to get coached through certain things that deal with the nervous system, the vagus nerve, detoxing, gut health, lymphatic system, well, that's just exactly what Kelly does. So, of course, we're going to put her website in the description of this episode, but you can find her at detoxfitwithkelly.graphy.com. I'm sure she's got a lot of amazing information out there. And I just truly, Kelly, thank you for sharing these tips. You know, that's what I'm all about in the community is what can I give you for free, right? Nothing in this life is for free. And it's just so important to me. And so I appreciate it when others like you take your time to share these free, but yet so powerful tips with us. So, so much gratitude for you. I appreciate you more than you know.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, when we go through something like this, we don't realize the reasoning behind it, right? Until we come out on the other end, right?
Yes.
And we realize that maybe this was our journey, so now we can help others. And so I'm so grateful to be on here to share this, and I'm very honored to be on here with you, and just so grateful for what you do for the community as well.
I appreciate that. And yes, there's a reason. We can't let our struggle go in vain, right? And it just, there's no better feeling than being able to help somebody else with the journey that we know was a really tough one. So,
yeah. And I just want everyone to know out there that if you are going on that healing journey, that your light can shine again.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.